Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Beacon Church, it's my honor and privilege this morning to introduce our speaker today. Pastor Gary and his wife Terry are here with us, and we want to thank you guys for being here. These guys are not strangers to Beacon. They are family. I'm pretty sure they're part of the family. They might not be here every week, but we know that you love this house. Thanks for your video recently when we purchased a building. Thanks for speaking so positively and faith-filled over our church. But Pastor Gary is a part of our national executive for INC, which is the denomination that we're a part of here at Beacon. And his role is the National Director of Church Health and Planting, which is such an important thing. And so we're ready to hear a word from God delivered to us this morning. Can we make Pastor Gary here again feel welcome?
Thanks, man. So good to be with you again. I brought my wonderful wife with me because she makes me look good. Actually, she does a good job, doesn't she? Hey, it's a big job. But she leaned over to me in worship and said, I think I might have a word for the church. And I said, you might or you do? But she does. Don't know what it is, but love.
Yeah, it's always stepping out in faith, isn't it? But just excited for the days that you're in Beacon Church.
Yep.
And just wanted to honour all of you, but particularly your pastors, Az and Beck. And I just felt that I saw a lot of things during worship, so I hope it all makes sense. But I feel that God just wants to encourage you because you've gone the extra mile. And you are a church of the extra mile in what you have sown and what you are going to reap as a result. And I just felt that God wanted to give you a scripture from Amos 9, verse 13. And I'll read out two versions because it kind of is the double whammy. In the New Living Translation, it says, "The time will come, says the Lord, when the grain and grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested. Then the terraced vineyards on the fields of Israel will drip with sweet wine." And the Message version is, "Yes, indeed, it won't be long now, God's decree. Things are going to happen so fast, your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once. And everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and the hills." And previously, you've had seasons of sowing and seasons of reaping. But I feel that you're coming into a season where one is going to overtake the other. And I saw like a wave continuously, as it does, dump on the shore. It never stops. The wave will recede and then dump again. And you're going to come into a season of the wave, of just dumping and blessing with the sowing and reaping, one on top of the other. And it's because of the faithfulness of this church, the diligence that you have sown. But I just feel that you are the church of the extra mile, and that is the key to what you're stepping into. So keep going the extra mile. And I just feel too, with the finances, you're going to attract business people who are searching for purpose, successful people who are looking, okay, I've been blessed. Where can I put my hand? Where can I find my destiny and purpose in the gift that God's given me? And God is going to bring them into this house for that season.
Maybe I just pray and we go have sausages, huh? So good to be here. So good to be part of what's going on at Beacon. And, you know, we go back a fair way with this church. 5 years you guys have been here. Amazing. And even before that, I was, some of you will know Pastor David McDonald, who was our previous national chairman some time ago, but also he was the pastor of the Brisbane church when they first sent someone down to start the church at Redlands. And I was talking to him this week, saying, I'm at Beacon this week. How good about their building? He's just, if you know old Dave, But he's just, what a great thing. You got to know that we are so excited as a whole movement about what's going on here and celebrating what God's doing. One of the things I love about our movement, but about the body of Christ, is when one wins, we all win. And to hear what's going on around the Redlands, and just to know that we've got a stake in the ground, eh? You know, it's just the start. I love that song up there about just being the start. I'm going to need to get some of these worship people to help me with the words of it, I'm sure. Hey, I got a message this morning that's been on my heart for some time that I believe God's given to me for the church at this season. And I'll just run off the back of what Josiah was going on about here about baptisms, hey? How many know? Even that song we've sung, I just encourage you to sing songs like that forever, because they just take us back to what really happened the day we gave our lives to Christ. Eh? To be able to, you know, sometimes I think, you know, we feel like, oh, well, that was a long time ago, and we lose the potency of how great our salvation really is. The fact that Jesus Christ would come and save me, would save me from all of the wrongs I've ever done, save me from the sin that separated me from him. What a great thought. And just to be able to be part of baptisms and seeing people, I feel like I could go down and get baptized all over again, hey? And we should do that, hey? But how many know that when God saved you, by the way, if you're not a follower of Christ, you know, maybe, what is it, October the 5th, baptisms? Maybe you should be baptized on October the 5th. Maybe you can walk out of this place this morning. You may have walked in not feeling you're close to God, not knowing that you're a follower of Christ. You can leave here this morning, a simple decision in your heart that today, the whatever day it is, 21st, I think it is, of September, I decided to follow Jesus. I mean, how many people can believe that people will make that decision today? But here's the thing I know about God. God didn't just save me from when I got saved, when I got baptized. He didn't just save me for heaven. He actually brought me into his body. I want to talk about that. Just listen, it's a little bit. I'll mention the scripture a few times, but I want to remind us today. In 1 Corinthians 12, the Bible says, by one spirit, we were baptized into one body. How many know you weren't just baptized into Christ for heaven? You were baptized into his body. You were brought in. You can choose what you do with that. But in the economy of God, you're in. In fact, I don't know if it's good theology or not, but technically you can't get out. The only way to get out of his body is to stop following him. So you're in. Who's in? We may as well make the most of being in. We were baptized into one body, whether Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, and we've all been made to drink of one spirit. I want to talk about the concept today, the possibility today of one, of being one, of how Jesus sees his body. I believe the church is in its greatest hour. I have the privilege of representing INC at a bunch of different tables around the nation. And you know, I've never seen such a unity amongst even denominations. I mean, it's not about what keeps us different. It's about what we've got in common. We've got Christ in common. And, you know, I was saying earlier that I get to sit at the heads of churches in Queensland at the table every couple of months. And we actually sit at the Catholic Archbishop's house. I mean, I tell you what. Someone needs to write to someone and give me a house like that. I mean, I tell you. I mean, it is just. And the tea and scones we have on the balcony after it. It is just, I'm rejoining. No, not really. But every denomination's there and we just have a great time talking about how we can make the world better together. Amen. Jesus' prayer for the church. Jesus taught the church to pray when he said, "Our Father who art in heaven." But when he prayed for the church, in John 17, he said, "I pray that they'd be one. I pray they'd see themselves as one. I pray they'd act like being one." We might theologically and intellectually know, yeah, we're one body, but I got to tell you, sometimes we behave a lot different to being one. And I want to speak into that this morning. First, I've got a movie clip to show you. Only goes for an hour and a half, all right? No, I was watching a movie. I'm a bit of a sports nut, right? And I was watching a movie a couple of years ago, and it's a movie called The Boys in the Boat. It's worth having a look. The last scene of the movie, it's the story in the 1930s of a rowing crew of eight before the Berlin Olympics, you know, I think that was 1936. And they throw this motley crew together and they start to train and they end up doing marvelous things. You can watch the movie. But it's being told through one of the crew members who's now grandfather to his young grandson who's got aspirations of rowing. And I want you to have a look at this clip. It only goes for a minute and just to see where we might be taking you this morning. Catch it? We were never eight. We were one. Eight men in the crew, all with different functions, but learned to operate as one. I wonder if that's not Jesus' plan for his church. That we are many members, but we are one. How many know we've got some learning to do? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. No doubt you will have seen this passage often, even last week if you were listening. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good, acceptable and perfect will of God. How many know that when we come to Christ, a journey begins? I love that song. It's the start of the journey. There's a lot in that song. I need to get it. I've never heard it before. I need to get it for my messages. But we start a journey of being conformed to the world and the way it thinks, to being transformed into the way the kingdom thinks. And it's a bit of a journey, isn't it? I don't think we ever graduate from that journey. I think until I get to go to glory, there'll be still a lot of transformation work that's needed in me. But what I'm asking you to do today is consider, are you willing to be transformed? Maybe we came in with some thoughts and God wants to shift them a little bit and send us out with some other thoughts this morning. And what I want to point out this morning in this concept of oneness is in your Bibles, when you read verses 1 and 2, there will be like a subheading between verse 2 and 3. And I'm sort of, it almost intimates that there's a shift of subject. But I wonder if there is a shift of subject. Because in verse 3, Paul goes from that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And in verse 3, he says, for I say. If you're going to say, for I say, it's got to be linked to the previous verse, hey? And he says this. He says, for I say, through the grace given to me. Just hear this. I'll just unpack this a little bit. Paul is now speaking. He's not talking about general grace. He's talking about the grace on his life to be an apostle to instruct the church. Everybody doesn't have that grace. Paul is actually saying here, there's a grace on me, and out of the grace on me, I'm going to bring something to you. I pray this morning, out of the grace on my life, I'm able to bring something to you. And he says, for the grace given to me To everyone who is among you, don't think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members, don't know how many are here this morning, many. As we have many members in one body, all the members don't have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Guess what? That person next to you, you're stuck with them. You're stuck with them. Oh my God, some of you are about to leave right now. Some of them, it's your husband. God has bought many, and here's my challenge to us today. I wonder if part of the transformation journey is to go from thinking the way the world thinks, that's all about me, to thinking the way God thinks when it's all about we. That we're in this together for the good of the kingdom and the good of each other, and God has placed us and wants us to learn oneness. How many know oneness is something that's got to be learned? Because it's not the way the world thinks. Let's be honest, if I'm without Christ, I've got to think about me. No one else is looking after me. But when I'm in Christ, it's a different way of thinking. I got to leave that stuff behind, and I got to learn to think like Christ thinks about his church. Now, let me just say this. I didn't say this in the earlier service. I know that in seasons past, and maybe even recent past, you know, maybe people can get hurt in church. The church does things wrong. I did say this morning, we've been here 2,000 years, and we've done some dumb stuff. But we're still here. Jesus is committed to his church, amen? And I don't want to underestimate the significance of it. There's a reason why church hurt is so painful. It's because we're separating something that God put together. I'll talk about that a little bit later. But here's the deal. We've got to learn to think like we are one. Amen. And Paul goes on and he says this later. I just think it's such a big part. I know I've got a long way to go. I know there's still a lot of Gary and Gary, okay? A lot of self in me. I mean, John here, he's likely to say something to me and I get offended and I don't want to have anything to do with him again. The problem is I'm stuck with him because we're one body. You know, I love it, the fact that INC, our movement, we've actually had in our constitutions is we're one body of people meeting in many places. But here's the thing, it's not just about INC, because I've noticed there's Baptists in the body of Christ too, and there's Lutherans in the body of Christ, and there's all these other people, funny people in the body of Christ. God's brought us all together to be one for the good of his kingdom, amen? One spirit, baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slave, free, black, white, Baptist, whatever. We've all been made to drink of one spirit. He goes on in verse 6, and he says this, having then gifts, Paul says, according to the grace on my life, I'm bringing you this. Having then gifts, according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If it's prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And this is what I think. I think Paul could still be writing today if he was to list out all of the graces that he's placed on people's life for the good of his church, for the good of his body, and for the good of the world around about us. He had to stop somewhere, so I reckon he stopped here. What we've got to do is we've got to start to see that just like on Paul's life, there were graces and there were gifts, on your life, there are graces and there are gifts. He's called you into his body, not just to take up space and give you money. That's a good idea. Please know this morning, I'm not trying to get you to do more work. I'm trying to get you to understand today that you're unique. God has placed graces and giftings on your life as members of his body. I was listening to, I got to drive to Brisbane 3 or 4 days a week these days. Beautiful drive. And I was listening to some essays of C.S. Lewis. That'll play with your mind. I nearly have an accident every other day. But he was talking about this concept of membership. He actually says that the concept of membership originated in the New Testament. Now, we in the Western world have moved it so far from its original meaning, it seems to no longer even refer to it. You know, I'm a member of the North Burley Surf Club. That means I pay $5 a year and I get $2 off my meal. Because I'm a member. I'm a member of a paddle squad. I pay the coach and he teaches me. And it's still this concept of I'm a member with entitlements and rights and responsibilities. C.S. Lewis would say that the original meaning of the term member carries more the connotation of I'm an organ. I'm an organ placed in a body with a function. Whole new connotation. It's amazing as I look into this in the New Testament. Every time I read it, I can't get away from the one and the we. How we need one another, how we're all placed. God's how somehow, as supernaturally, when I got saved, he put me in his body with as an organ. I had a thought about the organs. No, not that organ. As an organ to function for the good of the body. Who's with me today? As each one having gifts according to grace on their life. The word there, the word for Paul in verse 3 where he says the grace on me, the word for gifts and the word for grace are all the same. It's a word called charisma or charisma in the Greek. It's a Greek word used in the New Testament for favor or gratuitous gift. Charisms or spiritual gifts are special abilities given to just a few of us select people. Given to all Christians by the Holy Spirit to give them power both to represent Christ and to be a channel of God's goodness for people. You are, said this morning, I go around now, shoulders squared, saying, I am charismed. Hair's gone because I'm charismed. You are charismed. No matter what the world said about you, what you've said about yourself, God has placed you in the body as an organ with gifts and functions for the good of the kingdom. I said before, I'm not trying to get you to do jobs, but I sort of am because I want you to understand that you've got something because Paul goes on in verse 9 and 10, he says, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Paul says, I put all these different graces in with different functions so that we're all better. You might be in the front of the boat, you might be in the middle of the boat, you might be in the back of the boat, but when we all provide our function, we're all better. In Jesus' name. There are many reasons that people stop functioning. I want to kill them. You're in. You're in. You're in. If this could be possibly true, that God not only baptized me, saved me for heaven, even that song, he's given me something. I'm born for more than that. I'm born to be a part of this thing called the church. Isn't it amazing? God, I often find myself praying, Father, forgive us. Forgive me for anything I've done to help people or to see people move away. Because you can't really, you can stop functioning, but you can't move away from his body. You're in. How many people have moved away sort of thing, but they're still in? Does that make sense? If it could be true, if Gary has charisma on his life as part of the body, what am I to do with it? I can go around and say, oh, I'm charismed. what am I to do with it? I want to turn over now to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from Romans 12 because it's the sister passage. And I want to point out three things this morning that I believe God wants us to consider as we consider the function. I'm talking to people, I don't know. I'm talking to people from, I don't know how old this young lady is. She looks about 10. That's only because I'm about 100. To people, I won't point any old people out. Yeah. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how long you've been around, how long you've been in the kingdom, 5 minutes, 50 years, God's got a function for you. God's got a charisma on your life. God's got a role, a function for you to contribute. If that's the case, what have I got to do? I've got 3 points for you today. The first one is this. We need to take responsibility for it. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. It says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of the one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and have all been made to drink of one Spirit. You get a sense Paul's trying to get a point across here? For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? That sounds very confusing. But what Paul is trying to say here is stop looking at the charisma on other people's lives and thinking you've got nothing to bring. Because what's on your life is different to what's on theirs. Every one of us has got something different. And he's saying here, and using the analogy of a physical body, he's saying the foot can't say to the hand, I'm not like you, so I'm not important. It'll look pretty stupid if my hand tries to do my foot's job. He's saying, be the best foot you can be and contribute what the foot contributes to the life of the body and stop comparing yourself to someone else. I mean, in the life of the church, we often look at the people up here and we think, wow, I can't do that stuff, so I'm not important. Paul actually does intimate in this passage the parts you don't see are more important than the parts you do see. And he's saying, don't say, this passage here, these few verses are for people who think they've got nothing to bring. I want to kill that. I have got a mission to kill that. The world will tell you you're no good. The world will tell you you're just along for the ride. The world will tell you all these lies. Jesus says, I brought you into my body with a function that I graced your life to play. That's what he's done for your life. And we've got to say, God, I'm going to stop comparing myself to the hand and I'm going to be the foot. And the second part of this is if I'm going to be the foot, or if I'm graced to be the foot and I don't do what the foot is called to do, the whole body suffers. How many feet are out there? This is going to get weird if I keep going. Disconnected. Two things are happening. One is they're not connected to the rest of the functions that God wants them to benefit from. And secondly, the body's missing out on the function that they're called to bring. I've got some ailments. When you get to my age, you get lots of ailments. Lately, I've had this problem. I keep tearing my calf muscle, right? And I've noticed that when my calf muscle is torn, my foot hurts because it's having to do things that my calf should be doing. And then I noticed that my hip hurts because of the load on my hip because I'm limping on the leg that's not functioning properly. All these old people are nodding at me. You're getting, the young people are saying, what are you talking about? And then if I limp long enough, my back starts to hurt because everything's stiff, you know. I was driving up here this morning thinking my hamstrings start to hurt. And then my wife says to me, I got a pain in the neck because you're complaining about what's wrong with your calf all the time. It's all connected. If one part doesn't do what it's supposed to do, the whole bit suffers. You got me? This is the analogy that Paul brings. He says, the foot, be the foot. Be connected. You're graced to be it. So play your role and everyone else will benefit. Have a listen to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Paul says this. He says, as each one, anybody not included in that statement? I just want to clarify. Anybody not included in each one? We're here, right? Has received a charisma, a gift. I haven't got anything, Gary. You have, not because I say you have, but because the scriptures say you have. You have. If you don't know what it is, our job is to help you find it. But you are graced. What are you supposed to do with the grace on your life? Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Here's the reason you've got a grace. It's to minister it. Chad up here this morning. His job, he's got a grace, and all of this crew, they got a grace on their life, right? Aren't you glad? You need to be glad it's not me. You need to thank Jesus right now. That's not Gary up there doing that stuff, all right? Because it wouldn't be ministering to you, all right? But here's the deal. They walk in the grace, the charisma, the organ that they're supposed to be, but it's not for them. It's so you and I can worship Jesus better. Isn't that amazing? You know, don't think it's all about platform stuff. I've seen some people that their grace on their life is to sit in a coffee shop with someone hurting and bring words of encouragement and bring words of warmth, and the people just walk out better because they've been ministered to. And most of the time, no one knows anything about it. But it's a grace that's on people's lives. Does that make sense to you? We've got to walk in that which we're called to do. What does it say here? Good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The word manifold means many faces. How many know God's grace has many faces? Could I suggest you're one of them? Could I suggest that there's a grace on your life that is a face of His goodness for other people? And if you aren't functioning in that grace, other people are missing out. This is not about jobs. This is about walking in and ministering the gift upon your life. There's a guy by the name of David Benner, wrote a book. He's written a number of books. He's a Christian psychologist. But he wrote a book that I've read numerous times. It's called The Gift of Being Yourself. And he says, being yourself would not make any spiritual sense if your uniqueness were not of immense value to God. But each person is exactly that, of inestimable value to God. You are of value because of who you are, and you are of value because of what He's placed on your life. I don't know how many billions of Christians there have been, but somehow they've all got to function in the body of Christ. I'll leave that to God to figure out. You think you've got administration problems. I mean, what's God got up there with billions of us running around? Some of us are in, some of us are out, all being doing our own thing. We this morning. I break the power of any thought or belief that you've got no role to play. God, as each one, has graced by the power of God. So point number one, if you're graced, Gary, take responsibility for what's on your life. The second one is this. Accept limitations and esteem others. What do I mean by that? Listen to Paul again. In verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, take note, just as He pleased. He wants you to be a foot, be a foot. If they were all one member, where would the body be? Now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. The eye can't say, I have no need of you, to the hand, nor can the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem weaker are necessary. Here's what Paul's saying. The first point was, if you don't think you've got anything, that's a lie. The second point is, if you think you got everything, that's a lie. You can't say, I can't say, we can't say, I have no need of you. We've got to get away from the isolation, from the independent thinking to the interdependent thinking of the kingdom, that we need each other, that I don't have everything together. One of the unfortunate things I get to do in my role is help people, particularly ministers, recover from burnout. And I believe one of the main causes of it is we got some people trying to do everything. Probably because a lot of people aren't doing their function, but what we need to do is we need to stop believing that I'm responsible to do everything. I'm responsible to do that which God has graced me to do, and I'm to rely on other people to do the rest. I'm to call on other people to do the rest. I'm to call on them to walk in their grace. Amen. We are called to be. This might be a nice sermon, but this is hard to do. I mean, I've got to learn, proud Aussie stubborn man in his 30s, I've got to learn to depend on other people. I need Az. I need Beck. I need Josiah. I need you. The kingdom needs you. You may have thought that one of the charisms, this is funny now, what you told me before, is I haven't got the charism of creativity. You know, my artistic, if you had a look, number one, I'm colorblind, right? You know, there's a benefit of that. I've never been offended by color in my whole life. I don't even know what color it is. Someone says that doesn't go with that. I don't care. I wouldn't even know. But it sort of affects some of the things you do. By the way, this little presentation here, Michaela put that together for me. Because I said, you got to help me. I think mine was black and white slides. That was it, you know. Anyway, what's that got to do with anything? This is the extent of my creativity. You like that? That took me a long time to think about that, all right? That's just bricks in a wall. There's a point to it. You notice there's a different color brick. Let's say that's you. You know what was funny? I was saying to Beck, who does the slides? Kate. Kate looked at the slide presentation I sent. She said, can you check that one should be in there? It doesn't sort of make much sense. Wait till my creativity kicks in. I'll make it make sense, all right? Here's the thing. Think about your life. You're the shaded brick. Think of people God has placed around your life as other bricks in seasons of your life to get you where you are today. The goodness of God didn't only say, I'll save you, I'll put bricks around your life to help you get to where you need to be. What a wonderful thought. Can you think of them right now? I can think of multitudes of them. I mentioned David McDonald before. He was a great brick in my world. He would slap me sometimes. But he was a brick. If I needed correcting, he'd be quick to do it. But he was a brick that the grace of God called me to depend upon to keep walking in my journey. Folks, you need bricks around your life to get where God wants you to be. And secondly, you're called to be the brick for other people. He's put graces on you to be the brick. There was a song about that, wasn't there? We need to learn where you're powerful. And I say that humbly. You're powerful when you're walking in the grace of God. Where are you powerful? You also need to know where you're weak. And then you can find out who you need. But the point is, I need to accept. We hate this, but we need to embrace our limitations. we don't have it all. And third and last, thank God they said, is we need to learn to celebrate diversity but guard unity. Listen to Paul. Our presentable parts have no need. The worship team can come if you like. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it. And listen to the whole point, that there should be, I want you to hear this, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members would have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Listen to Paul. All this stuff, all this boat that God's put together, he's to be one. The whole point of it is that if we learn to be one, there will be no schisms. I actually find myself asking God to forgive us as the church for causing schisms. I ask God to forgive myself when I feel like I'm offended by that, so I'm just going to go do my own thing. No, that's a schism. God says that there be no. Paul says that there be no schisms in the body. We all play our role. We all see ourselves as one. Isn't it amazing how diverse we can be? I mean, the Jew, slave, black, white, doesn't matter. The diversity is the richness of God. But the power is in the oneness. The power is we've all an organ to play a role, to see the body strengthened and the world changed in Jesus' name. And Paul says, that there be. I know Beacon Church never has schisms. It's all the others. That there be. I just want to labor a little minute. Can you get the heart of Paul? That there be no schism. I mean, sometimes, Gary, you just got to get over the I and live with something for the good of the body. You've just got to put your preferences aside. You've just got to put your opinions aside. And you've got to, that there be. That doesn't mean I agree with everything. It means I protect the body from schisms. I was praying about this some time ago. And I felt the Lord just bring me to the passage of Scripture where Jesus is being questioned about divorce. And I know it's a different subject, but Jesus' response to people who are asking him, he says this: what God has joined, let not man separate. Now, we make mistakes. We need the grace of God. No condemnation for anybody that's been through the heartache of marriage turmoil. But here's my point. God joined the body. Let's not be ones that are separating that which God has joined. He joined me to his body. He joined you to his body. So let's guard, let's celebrate our difference, but let's guard our oneness in Jesus' name. Right now, look, I don't underestimate the significance or the impact of hurt. But church, we can do better. We can give ourselves. We can give ourselves to discovering the grace by thanking Jesus for the grace on my life so that I can function in the body of Christ. I can learn how to live interdependently with those around about me so that when I have a need, you can meet it, and when you have a need, I can meet it. What a wonderful thought. So that we may protect our oneness. Why don't you stand with me this morning? Father God, just want to spend about two more minutes. Didn't do this in the first service, but I just want to, you know, there are some of you here today and you've been wondering, well, what the heck is the grace on my life? How do I figure that out? Now, we've got a whole bunch of resources that can help you really dig into that. Well, what I want you to do with me right now, I just want you to close your eyes for a minute or two. Whether you know what the grace is on your life, or whether you're saying, Gary, I've never believed I've got anything. I want you to just ask the Holy Spirit to help you right now. I'm going to ask you three questions. Three questions that might give you some insight into how you're graced. Number one is this. Where do you experience the power of God most on your life? I don't mean a platform. You mean what might be that person in the coffee shop. And you know, God uses you to powerfully minister to the needs of people. You might be Chef Az, who loves doing the cooking. But you know that it's not cooking. You know God's using you to minister to people. You just know the power. You know, you might be that. Like my wife, she's a prophet and an intercessor. I mean, she leads with Paul and probably some others in the church. They have an intercessory group that pray for all of the churches across our movement. No one sees it. I see it because I live there. I see the list of prayer points she gives out to the prayers. None of you would know who they are, but I see the power of God working through that because it's the grace upon her life. Where do you see the power of God on your life? Oh, Gary, I don't see it. I'm not on a platform. You don't have to be on a platform. Where does God use you most powerfully? That's an indicator of the grace of God on you. Here's another thing, point two, where do you see the most fruit? I mean, I could say, I got the grace to play guitar like Ricky. I'd only have to pick it up and you'd say, there's no fruit around that, Gaz. You probably missed it a little bit. Where do you actually see the person walk out of the coffee shop thinking, I'm lifted up right now? Where do you see the fruit around your life when you're walking in the things of God? And the third one is this, really spiritual. What brings you most joy? What brings you most joy? I just love it. I don't know if it's obvious or not, but I love what I do. It's not because I think I'm good at it. It's just because it seems to be what God's asked me to do and I sort of enjoy it, you know. Some of you think this would be the worst thing you could ever want to do is do with this. Some of you may think there's no fruit around what I do. I don't know, but here's the thing. If you can discover where God uses you most powerfully, where you see so much fruit and what brings joy to your life, what would life be like in the body if we were all one walking in that? In Jesus' name. Father, today, we got a prayer team here. And I know we're out of time, but particularly for people who have felt that your gift has been squashed. You, there's no room for you. The world has told you that you have no part. I want to break that off your life this morning. If I'm going to invite you to just come and let us lay hands on you this morning. Other people that have experienced hurt and pain. I want to pray for the healing of the pain. But more than that, I want you to find purpose that you can give yourself once again. Because your pain does not disqualify you from the function that God has brought you into the kingdom for. And I want to break that off your life right now and release you. And one more group I want to pray for is those that may be here that aren't walking with Jesus Christ. You wouldn't call Jesus your Lord and your Savior. But there's something speaking to your spirit this morning that you know that there's truth. There's truth in the songs that we sang. There's truth in the words that have been spoken, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and that includes you. Includes you to be forgiven, to be eternally secure with Him, but also born with a function for His body. Today, if that's you, if you know you're not following Christ and you would make a decision right now, Gary, I want to be a follower of Christ. He won't change your personality, but he will change the way you think. He will bring you into his kingdom. He will transform your life, and he will put purpose into everything you do. Father, as I look across, if that's you this morning, Gary, I want to follow Christ. Right now, just raise your hand. I want to follow Christ. I want to become a Christ follower. In Jesus' mighty name. Beacon Church, let me read this as I close. I do not pray for those alone, but for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Father, we give ourselves to oneness in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.